This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
Hello, good to be back with you. We're talking about a story that you might be quite familiar with today. When I first saw Little Women, it was at a friend's place who wasn't allowed to watch TV but was allowed to watch this movie. Maybe it was because she had an elder sister, I don't know. Based on the novel by Louisa May Alcott, it followed the March sisters and their evolution into womanhood, seen through the eyes of Jo, the second eldest who loved poetry and drama and dreamed of being a famous author. This year marks the 25th anniversary of the Winona Ryder flick, and first-time director Claire Needham has reimagined it for a modern audience, adapting its messages of family, friendship and sisterhood for the 21st century.
Welcome to your castles in the air. Fill them wisely, love Marmy.
I, Amy March.
I, Margaret March.
I, Elizabeth March.
I, Joe March.
Will be a very successful writer and do all the things.
A rich and famous painter.
You don't know what it's like to have everyone else make fun of your nose.
We'll have a family of my own.
I want to make friends and go to parties and talk to guys our own age.
I think this is my castle. Just being here with all of you.
So you're the infamous Lawrence grandson.
Lawrence.
I wish to propose a new member to the club.
Every club needs a secret mailbox.
Welcome to the Pickwick Club.
Joe, you're a good writer, but you are far more interesting than what you write.
That's definitely a pass for me.
Pass for me as well.
Me too, sweetie.
I just don't think I can compete for the best writer I know.
I think it's about growth and accepting change.
Why do you even want to get married?
Because I love him.
Growing up, you have to deal with that.
We go through all these stages of learning and shifting and changing.
Why do you have to be so difficult? No!
And then we become something far from perfect, but perfectly unique.
The longer it takes for you to forgive her, the longer your pain will last.
We each have our own paths to our castles.
This is a story that's over 150 years old. Why did you think it was worth adapting for a modern audience?
You know, I reread the novel. I grew up as a fan of the novel, and, you know, I reread it a couple of years ago and just felt even more connection to it and relatability with the relationships that I had with the women in my life and the struggles that I was going through and they were going through. And I just imagined, well, what would the March sisters be like in today's society? And that was really the inspiration for it. And I just started writing. And, you know, it's just a real testament to Louisa May Alcott that she wrote these women who are so timeless and had so many lessons in there that are so relatable 150 years later.
The March sisters really are a pretty unique bunch of sisters of women. There's the outspoken poet in Jo, of course, homemakers like Meg, and also curious adventurers like Amy. Which March sister did you most relate to?
You know, because I am a writer and an artist, I would say Jo, but I definitely have a lot of Amy in me, whether or not I like to admit it. So I'm a little bit of a mix between the two. But I love that every female feels tied to one of these four women, one of these four characters.
I think there's something in them that all of us can enjoy. And for you personally, this is also your first movie as a director instead of being an actress in the feature. How did it feel being behind the camera instead?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I loved every minute of it. It's a struggle. You know, directing is incredibly difficult. You have all the feels. It's terrifying and exciting and and wonderful and rewarding and incredibly hard. But you never really know how you're going to feel until you're in that seat and you're driving that train. But I really fell in love with it, and it really set up my career path in a different way, and have directed since, and I'm very lucky that I found a love for behind the camera, because I think I'm better suited for it anyways.
Well, it's a different level of responsibility, because you're not just taking instruction from somebody about what you need to do. You're actually the one giving instruction and guidance and shaping scenes. Was it strange having to carry that level of responsibility?
Absolutely. You know, you have to understand every aspect of filmmaking, but you also have to know how to manage people and create a team around you that can see your vision And that was new for me, you know. I mean, I remember the first week of directing, it was just very stressful. We had, you know, a kind of a rough day. And I had my producer say to me, like, well, you're the one that has to bring all these people back up, you know. Mm. And that was just a real lesson in learning how to be the leader. And, you know, since then I've really tried to stay true to that. But a lot of it's just about hiring the right people and then letting them explore and be supportive of those around you. It's a wonderful job, even if it is difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure it's one of the dreams, and it teaches you something about your own capacity, which is pretty cool. But the story itself of Little Women is really seen a lot through Jo's eyes as she pursues her own dream to become a great writer and refuse to settle for anything less than that. What do you think her character really teaches us who are watching on?
I see her as someone with incredible resilience and authenticity. Jo refused to give up on her dreams, no matter how many times she failed. And that's true for Louise May Alcott's life as well. But there's also a sense of, like I was saying, authenticity about her. You know, she was different than the other females in her life, and she really embraced that, and that's what made her unique. And so, you know, I hope young girls can look at her as a heroine and a mentor in their own life, because she really just did her own thing. And she had her flaws, like we all do, and had to learn how to overcome them. You know, she's got a temper and she's a little bullheaded, but, you know, at the end of the day, she means well. And she's just one of those women that is just gritty and keeps fighting. And I think that's important.
Yeah, and I mean, she's so focused on her dreams, and I think dreams are a really interesting thing because they can motivate us and give us drive, but they can also be something that in a way destroys us and cause such pain if we don't think that they're actually going to come true. What's your own perspective on pursuing dreams and knowing when to maybe change them, adapt them, or even in some instances just completely let them go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something we all deal with on a daily basis. I, you know, as an artist, I've had a lot of crushed dreams and a lot of realized dreams. And I think, I don't know if I can say what I think people should do, but I think sometimes we have to realize the path that is in front of us and the doors that are open, and let go of the ones that aren't available to us, because a lot of times following those open doors is what leads us to a greater satisfaction than what we had thought. You know, and I took a lot of that from Louise May Alcott, because all the girls talk about their castles in the cloud, which is essentially like their dream. And, you know, they all had these expectations of what they wanted their life to look like, and everyone ended up in a different place, but that didn't mean that they didn't feel fulfilled. And I think that's a great example of, you know, we set out on this plan. We think that this is what we want, and every day we learn and grow and realize we just have to keep fighting for what we think we want in order to find what we need.
That's such great advice, and it's a really important part of what the movie brings to life. And on another note, I will say I like what you did with the character of Freddie, the professor, because when I watched the movie back in 1994, I remember his character was one of my least favorites. I found him a little creepy and I wasn't really sure where he fit. But you've brought Ian Bowen from Teen Wolf into the role, who is so endearing and so relatable. And you also show us that unlike his character in Teen Wolf, he can actually be a really kind, great guy. So thank you for doing that, because he became one of my favorites.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, too. I mean, I grew up on the Winona Ryder version of Little Women, and I sort of felt the same way, even though he's a wonderful actor. But Ian really responded to the script, and he brought a lot of his own opinions and talents to it. But, you know, I think he was just a character that saw Jo for who she is and really embraced her and all of her flaws, but also saw how charming she was and how passionate she was. And we really wanted to play with that. And he's just mature, you know, and he's grounded. And that's kind of what she needed. So I'm glad you felt that way. And Ian was really the perfect actor to bring that character to life.
Very much so. He teaches her a little bit about what's needed in a sort of adult relationship in that time of her life. But also you had a bit of a High School Musical reunion going on set because Lucas Grabeel plays Laurie. You also had Bart Johnson, a.k.a. Troy's dad there, playing Mr. March. Did that come up on set at all?
Oh, yes, of course. we had some High School Musical fans waiting on set, just hoping to snap a picture. But I actually know both Lucas and Bart separate from High School Musical, and it just kind of happened that they both were available for the role.
Mm.
But Lucas is he's a wonderful actor, and because he has that musical element to him, he felt very right for Laurie because Laurie, you know, wanted to pursue this music career. And then Bart Johnson is he's such a wonderful father figure, and so it felt right that these girls would have someone like Bart Johnson to complete their family.
It gives you something really fun, I think, in the movie. And Leah Thompson plays Mommy. She also really grounds the family and brings the March family together. What do you think Little Women says about the way our family impacts our lives and the importance of family?
You know, it's kind of everything. I think Louise May Alcott saw that her sisters were everything to her. You know, her quote, "I could never ever love anyone the way that I love my sisters." And, you know, whether it's sisters or brothers, it's, you know, your siblings know you better than anyone, but they also are sometimes the most difficult relationships that we have. They teach us the most about who we are. And I think it's really just about embracing each other's differences, but being able to find the common ground of support and love. All the girls wanted different things in their life, the way that everyone wants something different in their life, whether it's career, family, or both, or whatever you want. But you really can stay together throughout that and find a love and a friendship beyond what you want. Family is the most important. Always.
Yeah, it's a connection that it's like a home base, I suppose you can call it, that outlasts a lot of the different fluctuations in life. And in researching Little Women, I imagine that you had to look into the life of Louisa May Alcott a little bit. Tell us about her. What was her story?
She's just a fascinating woman. Joe March is pretty much based on her. And she had three sisters, just like Joe does. They grew up in Massachusetts, which is actually where I grew up, and so I've always felt tied to that. And my mom and I got to go tour the house that they grew up in.
Wow.
And she, you know, she really grew up in this sort of very eccentric family. They didn't really fit in anywhere, and she just wanted to write from the day that, you know, from when she was old enough to be able to write. And she'd make all of her sisters put on plays and always read all of her writing. And she just always had a story to tell. And, you know, you see that in Joe March. And Louisa May really did stay as close as Joe did to her sisters and her parents. She never did meet her Freddie. She never did meet her Professor Bear. Unfortunately, that part was a little bit of a Hollywood ending for her. But I think her writing just speaks for women everywhere. And she was so ahead of her time, and her words are so relatable today.
And there's something kind of symbolic in that, that she got to write her own story in a way, just the way that she wanted it to be. And it's kind of cool to think that as she broke ground as a female writer telling her own story, you're now a female director getting to bring it to screen all these years later. That's really remarkable.
Oh, yeah. I feel so lucky. You know, I feel so grateful to her and to any women in that era who were, you know, fighting for women to be able to work and have a voice, because, you know, it sets it up that now I can do this. So I thanked her many times throughout this whole process of giving me this story, but also giving us, you know, the strength to be resilient and fight for what we want.
There are a lot more women who are getting to take the role of director in movies and start to break new ground in so many ways within the film industry. What do you think women uniquely bring to the table in terms of the way we tell stories and handle the space on set, but also the way that we share stories on the screen?
You know, it's a very exciting time for female filmmakers because we are starting to get equal opportunity. And I think it's so important because who knows women's stories better than women? Mm. And I think, too, like women are much more dynamic than often they have been portrayed in film before. So I'm excited to see kind of the complicated characters that come out of that. And as well as behind the camera, you know, I think women are suited for directing and that it's a lot of multitasking and it's a lot of working with different personalities. And I think, you know, women can empathize so easily with different people and, you know, very adaptable creatures. And this industry is all about that. So I think it's just an exciting time to see kind of how things switch because women will have more of a role in the stories that are told.
Mm, how we perceive stories in a way that is maybe a little bit different. I mean, even Olivia Wilde with Booksmart getting to take on her own directorial role and tell her story, you do see that there's different stories coming to life, which is very cool. But when we look at Little Women, what is it that you want it to leave with the audiences who do get to go and see it?
So, I mean, my hope really is that you take your mother, your sister, your friends, and the women in your life who have impacted you and go together and experience these four March sisters and talk about the differences between them and how they're able to support each other and then be able to think about how we can support each other better. And that's really just my hope for it because to me it always brought such a close relationship with my mom and friends of mine. So I hope that, you know, it for a new generation, they get to see these women who were such impactful in American culture.
And we also get to learn a little bit more about cubby making as well, which I hope makes it a really big comeback. It's quite fun. Thank you so much for your time, Claire. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is it for this week's Power Lunch. Thank you for listening. Would love for you to subscribe, rate it, share it with your friends, and let me know what you think. Until next time, see you later.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.